comfort, shelter, love for each other's toys. He makes me to lie down on the couch during nap time. He leaves me beside the still waters in my mind, even though the waters in my dishpan, bathtub, and washing machine are seldom still. He restores my soul by his word, by his presence, and by loving me through the trusting faces of my children and beloved husband. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, where I try to lead my children for his name's sake. Yea, though we walk in the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. For God is with us always, when in the doctor's office, or in the therapist's clinic, or even in the hospital room. Thy rod of authority and thy staff of discipline comfort me, and keep me obedient as I try to instill discipline and respect for authority into the hearts and lives of my children. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my children, whose table manners make them seem like enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil and with thy Holy Spirit, and this enables me to go about my daily task with joy. My cup of blessing, the baby's milk cup, and my toilet bowl overflows. Surely my children will not follow me to the bathroom all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy will follow them as they grow up and leave me. And no matter what state we live in, whether South Carolina or confusion, in our hearts we will live in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you very much. Let's turn to Psalm 23. And let's say it together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We pray together. One of the strongest elements of the curse, going all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, is that of chains. Not chains, but change. Change always involves deterioration. And the scientists would call us that is the second law of thermodynamics. It means that things are deteriorating. And there is a need for constant change, and time is the framework within which that change takes place. It demands change. And you and I mark that change as soon as a baby is born. We mark that day very carefully, and a year later we mark it again and again and again. And we continually mark that change until, of course, death comes. And then, if that poor person was very important, we mark it again. Each day we pull a page off of the calendar, we say, things are changing. They're not the same. They're different. And it's part of the curse. Oh, you say, that's not true. We like change. If you didn't have the seasons, it would be pretty dull. Well, that may be the case. But it seems from the scripture that change is a part of the curse. It's part of what God brought upon us because of sin. Now, we've talked about the sheep for 12 studies, that this is the 12th. And the sheep has traveled a good part of the year, and he's made his way from the home range, or the home ranch, and he's made his way up through the low foothills. He's made his way across the small streams and some of the roaring torrents. He's gone up deep gullies. He's jumped across small gaps. He's found himself on the edge of deep cliffs. He's been huddled into a cave in protection against wild animals. He's been taken through dark nights, through cold storms. And he finally arrived at one time on the high mountain plateau, and there he enjoyed the luxuriant provision of the shepherd for those months. And then a time has now come for him to turn around, and he's now begun to make his way back. The winter storms are behind him that are overcoming the mountains and filling the mountains with snow and ice. And he's making his way down through the valley, back down through the gullies, across those little hills, and he's making his way back down to the home range. The last day has come. It'll just be one day's journey from where he is now until he finally arrives at the home range that he left months ago. And he gives to us another powerful statement of promise that comes from this boasting sheep. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He's been looking for this day since he left. Months ago when he left the home range, he was looking for the day when he, if he knew it all, he would come back and he would stand once more in the corral. He would stand once more in the comfortable surroundings of the pasture and the sheep and the shelter. He would arrive safely back home to that ranch, and he would say in his boasting words to the sheep next door, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The shepherd, too, has looked for this day. He hasn't enjoyed particularly the long trip up through the mountain and across the valley and up in the hills in the midst of storm and distress and privation. He hasn't enjoyed that particularly. And he has looked for the time when he, too, can return home. He can see his sheep so utterly satisfied with the home range. There is no desire for change. That's what the sheep looks forward to. The sheep has faced months of change. Every day a different experience. Every day a different challenge. Every day different enemies. A different part of the ground. A different part of the hill or the mountain. But now, he returns home and he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The shepherd enjoys the contentment of his sheep. The satisfaction of his sheep. Productive, happy, enjoying the presence of the shepherd as well as the surrounding of the ranch with its corral, its barn, its shelter, its regular provision of food for the winter. By the same token, that delighted shepherd who sees healthy sheep, contented, productive, enjoying the provision, there also can be the discouragement of the shepherd to have sheep which are disobedient. Sheep which are negligent, disinterested, wandering back and forth. You know, not everybody wants to go home. Not all the sheep want to return back to the shepherd's home and the ranch. There are those that would just as soon stay out in the range, and they would go where they want to go and do what they want to do without any corral around them. There are two ideas that are brought before us in this word, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There are two ideas at least that come to our attention. One, of course, is the word house speaks of the family. That is the household. And it speaks of the family of God. Those of you who have received the Lord Jesus Christ become a part of a family. You're born into a relationship with the Heavenly Father, and whether you like it or not, we're your brothers and sisters. And that is a part of the family of God. And there is that sense in which he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, satisfied with the flock. That's a difficult thing. But satisfied with the shepherd as well. It's part of being a part of the family of God. But the second idea that is brought to our attention is that of heaven. And probably most would see the house of the Lord as being heaven, the final resting place, as it were, of these sheep. They have looked all of these days and weeks and months to that day when they finally, way off in the distance, they would see that little white farm and the corral and the barn, the familiar surroundings, and they couldn't wait to go, and they burst out and head for the ranch that will be home for many, many months. And they will respond by saying, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And it pictures for us the heavenly home of the believer. The psalmist says in Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. I want to look this morning at this residence that the sheep are going to enjoy. The residence, we want to primarily suggest that it has reference to the final enjoyment of heaven, the presence of the Father, the presence of the Son, and the joyful experience of celebrating our wonderful shepherd with all the other sheep. But first of all, the place of residence. It's called a house. The house. The sheep left this house months ago and they've made their way up the high hills and now they have returned to the house. It's a return to familiar fields. It's a return to the corral, to the normal feeding schedule which doesn't cost them any problem and doesn't endanger them in any way. There are the shelters. There's the owner's home just a few yards away. And there is a sense of satisfaction and security. The final day must be a joyful day for the sheep as they realize they're just about to go home. Would to God it were that way with the sheep of God's pasture. For us, the final change is the end of this life. God may call today, some of us, and say, the time has come for you to go to the house of the Lord forever. And many of us might say, well, you know, I'm not ready to go. I don't want to go. And we may, like Hezekiah, argue and say, Lord, give me some more days. Give me some more time here on this earth. Because not everybody wants to go home. We've got so many things we want to do. We can go our own way when we're out in the hills and out amongst the valleys and out in the caverns. We can do what we want to do. And we can leave the shepherd. But that can't be the case when we're within the corral. When we're in the home ranch, we're there under his care and under his protection. And we can't possibly leave. There is a security that is taught us in this house of the Lord forever. You don't want to go home? I can tell you that if we hold tightly the things of this earth, we will hold loosely the things of our shepherd. And if we hold tightly the things of our shepherd, we will hold very loosely the things of this world. The true shepherd has an eye always in the future of the sheep, a future day when he will finally call us to be with himself and bring us into that house, into that home forever. What a joy it will be for those who have enjoyed the presence of the shepherd out in the valley, out in the hill, out in the mountain, out in the places where the wild animals have been and we have had to struggle for food. The day will come when he will say, come home with me. All those struggles will be over. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. That is the place of residence. Then there is a second thing. There is the privilege of residence. Home. We sing home, sweet home. There are songs which remind us of the particular joys and blessings of home. There's a warm welcome at our home. There is for you at your home. It should be a place where we really delight to be. Most of us would say, well, we're homebodies. We want to be home. We want to be in our comfortable surroundings. You know, when you're a guest in somebody else's house, as has often been the occasion in my life, you feel a little uneasy. You're not so sure about the privileges. They don't know whether they want you to go in the refrigerator or not, or whether you're supposed to go in that closet, or is that door or that room open to you. You're just not so sure. But when you go home, it's yours. And there isn't anything in that home that you can't go to, that you can't partake of, that you can't enjoy. Those are some of the privileges, some of the blessings of this residence to which he is bringing us. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. When it's your home, you open that door with your key. There is a sense of possession. There's a sense of liberty and freedom, joy, privilege, security. And the list goes on. That's where I want to be. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Have you got a home up there? Or are you at home here? There is a privilege of residence. The sheep looks to the home range as a place of home. That's home. He's been tenting all these long months high up in the mountains, through the valleys, in the midst of storms. It's just been intense here and there. But the day is coming when he's going to be home. And the regular provision of mixed grain, the pure well water which is provided by the shepherd. There is the comfort of the corral that keeps him in as well as the wild animals out. And there is a sense of privilege. The shepherd in the ranch is easily available if there is any problem. And of course, not only what we have, but what we have not got is important. Those privileges that we enjoy are important, but there are some we don't have. There's no more valleys of the shadow of death. They're gone forever. There are no more dark, cold nights where we must be by ourselves, it would seem. There are no rushing streams which would carry me all the way down to my death. There are no more high cliffs which cause me to be so much afraid that I'm not sure I can make it through. There are no more roaring wild animals. There are no more thorns and briars that prick me and tear my flesh and my wool. Can you see how much heaven is like this home? Can you not see the shepherd as he says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever? When all my labors and trials are o'er. You remember that song? You remember the one about school days all done? That's home. It's the privilege of residence. And most people want to get home. I've talked to a number of people and asked them if they want the Lord to come again. Wouldn't you like to have the Lord Jesus Christ come back through the clouds of heaven and take us to be with himself? Some do. But most of those who do so because they want the Lord to get him out of this mess. Lord, just get me out of this mess. Get me out of the trials, out of the difficulties, out of the physical illness, out of the suffering that I'm going through. And yet the shepherd wishes that we wanted to come home because that's where he is. Are you going through some dark valley this morning, during the coming week, facing some big storm? Let me ask you, do you want to go home to get out of this mess? Or do you want to go home because the shepherd is there? You know, we're no longer a guest, a pilgrim, a stranger. I'm finally at home, a permanent resident. In his house. And it's a place of special blessing. No matter where you go, no matter how far you may travel, where is the place you'd rather be at the end of that journey? Of course. It's home. Then there is thirdly the prospect of residence. You know, we've talked about there just being one sheep and one shepherd. And we've also talked that perhaps in spite of that fact, there are maybe dozens of other sheep or maybe hundreds of other sheep. But it's always a personal, intimate relationship just between me and the shepherd. That's all. I could care less about all the others. It's just the shepherd and I. And the prospect of finally going home is I will be occupied with him and he will be occupied with me. Who is this I? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Someone has called this psalm the psalm of pronouns. They're used so many times. And the psalmist says here at the conclusion, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Who is this I? Who is this man who speaks so surely that he knows where he's going to be? Well, the personal pronoun refers only to those of you who have chosen to follow the shepherd, chosen to obey the shepherd, chosen to love his person. Let me ask you, if you wander off from the flock of sheep away up in the mountain and you go your own way, when it comes time for him to take the flock home, where will you be? Will you be still up on the mountain? Will you be away off from the valley? Will you be gone your own way when he calls us home? When he gathers his flock together around him, where will you be? There is the prospect. When he leads his flock home, how do you expect to get home? If he's not there to lead you. We like to suggest that all I need to do is believe. And yet the whole concept of Scripture tells us that since the Lord chose me and received me as his sheep and I received him as my shepherd, the whole of my life is to be a life of obedience. A life of submission, a life of dedication and commitment to Christ. If you missed Wednesday night, you missed a glorious time. And our brother Ernie Woodhouse told us the same sort of idea. That it is commitment to Christ over a lifetime. And the sheep must learn that same lesson. Don't say the Lord is my shepherd if you do not follow him. If you do not obey him. If you do not like to hear his voice. If you do not love his presence. If you don't want to serve him, don't say the Lord is my shepherd. And don't say I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Because to say the Lord is my shepherd means that you're going to follow him. You're going to obey him. You're going to surrender to him. You're going to listen to his voice. You're going to want to be in his presence. You'll look into his eye. You'll whisper into his ear. And then you can say, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Home in heaven, who's it for? It's for the one who has received Jesus Christ as their Savior, who has been born again, who has allowed Jesus Christ to control their life, to direct their affairs in business, in job, in home, in school. That's the disciple. That's the follower of Christ. Can you not see that the whole concept of the shepherd and the sheep is not just one transaction? It is a transformation that takes place over a lifetime. And it means following, surrendering, loving, choosing, deciding, obey. If we say we follow, the scripture says if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Don't expect to be a resident of heaven if you haven't been a follower of the shepherd. Then there is, fourthly, the permanency of residence forever. What in this life lasts forever? What a tragic thing that this curse has been placed upon us. Think of the many things that you would like to have that will last forever. Some of us would like that youth would last forever. There are those who have some wealth and they would like that to last forever. They would like health to last forever. Can you not see the list would grow? There are so many things we would like to have. Last forever. And so few do. Some of the most precious things in life don't last forever. One of those things is, I suppose, family and friends. What sorrow when a family member leaves home. How you wish you could, or how I wish I could hold on to my sons. And they could not experience that change of departing and leaving. What about friends? Friends are so needful, so precious. And yet, friends don't last forever. We've lost some what we thought were very precious friends through a simple misunderstanding. I've traveled from one end of this country to the other, and friends, true friends, how many can you count on a hand or two? They don't last forever. Can you not see that the curse brings change? But the day is going to come when we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How can we grasp forever? How can we grasp the idea of forever? Someone has suggested that forever is the length of time that it takes a bird to take the sand from the Atlantic coast to the Pacific coast, one grain at a time, and fly back and forth. That's the beginning of eternity. I can't explain it. You can't grasp, but I can't comprehend it to be forever. What is 70 years? Or 60? Compared with being in the house of the Lord forever. The time for the little sheep returning home, it seems like forever. And forever and forever. He's been out in the valley. The mountains were so high. The precipices so close. The raging stream so strong. Oh, how he wanted to go home. The song says, don't it make you want to go home? Then there is finally the presence in this residence. The Lord. It's the Lord's house. It's the the Lord's house because he is there. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We've noticed in Psalm 23 that the most important principle the psalmist is trying to teach us is the fact of the shepherd's presence. It's like the child who was being taught about forever and being in the house of the Lord forever. And the child says, does that mean we have to go to church forever? I'm sure it'll be far more glorious than this. But hopefully, our time with the Lord's people is a taste of heaven. It isn't always, but it should be. And it just is a marvel to me as I study the Word of God that we think of going home and going to heaven, and yet we don't enjoy being with God's people and with God in his house. I just can't understand that. What do we think we're going to do in heaven? What do you think is going to take place in for all eternity, forever and ever and ever, in the presence of God? Sure, we won't have television to watch. That cuts out most of that. There are a lot of other things that we spend so much time doing that probably won't even be there. You know, we're told very little about what we're going to be doing in heaven. But I can tell you one thing we're going to do. We're going to worship. We're going to pray. You enjoy singing? We're going to do that for a long, 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 long. Do you enjoy praying, adoring? We're going to do that too. Do you realize that a small ingredient of your life and mine that we spend in church, probably the greatest percentage of eternity, we're going to be enjoying that. So if you don't enjoy church down here, I don't know what you're going to be doing up there. What is it that lays before us that we shall dwell in the house of the Lord? It's the tabernacle. It's the tent there. And one of the glorious privileges that God has given the church, if I may remind you again, is to worship and adore him at the Lord's Supper. To worship him. To lift him up. To tell him how much he means to us. And if you find pleasure there, I can tell you, you'll find pleasure in glory. If we love the Lord so little now, do you expect to love him so much more there? I can tell you that your appreciation of Christ now, today, down here, will be comparable in your appreciation of Christ in glory. If you appreciate him very little down here, you will appreciate him in a comparable sense up there. Oh, you'll be happy. Your cup will be full. But it may be a small cup because you appreciate him so little. No, so few want to hear his voice. So few want to sing his praises. So few want to pray into his ear or look into his eyes. I begin to wonder whether it's going to be all that good in heaven or not for all of us. But we can give special thanks to God that he's going to take away the sin nature that makes us want to do so many other things. And that which he wants and loves us to do, we will enjoy. And it will be infinite, eternal pleasure at his right hand. Do you know him? Can you say, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever? You can. If you've gone through the rest of the psalm, and you can begin by saying, the Lord is my shepherd. I want to know this morning if you've trusted him, if you've received him, if you've believed on him, if you've come to him like a little sheep, asking him to lead you and to guide you, to save you from the enemy, and ultimately to take you home to heaven. If you haven't done that, you can do that this morning. You can receive him into your life and into your heart and be born again and know the forgiveness of sin and know that one day, for sure, you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And you will begin this lifelong relationship with this beautiful shepherd who will, as the psalm says, lead you inside the still waters. Who will, as he says, guide you into paths of righteousness. Who will, as he says, put a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Anoint your head with oil. Cause your cup to run over. And he will cause his two angels to follow you all the days of your life. And in the end, when it comes, you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. But it's only for those who have chosen Jesus Christ as their shepherd. Can I conclude with the story we began with, just for your reminder? A little town, hardly more than a crossroads in a general store, cradled a young man who had become a famous actor in a theater. He hadn't visited the small town for many, many years. The time finally come for him to announce that he was returning home, and he would be back with his friends and with his neighbors. The announcement was a thrill to this community that this little boy who had grown up in this community had now become a great actor, and he was going to return home and favor them with a visit. Everyone in the community was urged to be at a special celebration in his honor, and he would be there. The preacher didn't want to come. He wasn't given to those kind of affairs, but he finally surrendered and said yes. He would be there even though he wasn't particularly interested in those kinds of celebrations. He was a simple man of God, one who loved the Word of God and desired to please Him. But folks insisted and said, this little boy grew up in your Sunday school. He was in your church. You really ought to be there to honor him. And finally, the old man consented and came to the celebration. And at the reception, the actor was urged to display his art and said, you just say something for us. Give us a rendition. And they said, well, you've seen my plays. You know what I can do. And finally, they asked, won't you do something for us? And finally, he said, well, we understand that you would enjoy the 23rd Psalm. And so the actor said he would quote it. He said, I'm doing it in a play that I do in such and such a city, and if you please, I will give it to you. People settled back. The actor tried to set the atmosphere for himself, and at last he began to quote the Psalm. His inflections were perfect. His diction was correct. He had studied every point regarding the Psalm and how it was to be said, how it was to be spoken. The words were fluid. They were beautiful as they flowed from his lips. When he was finished, they applauded and cheered. What a tremendous display of art and oratory. And someone had a happy idea, and someone thought, well, you know, the old preacher knows this psalm too. Let's have him quote it for us. The old man almost seemed shocked at the suggestion. I wasn't aware, he said, that this was some sort of competition. But once the crowd had started the idea, of course, it couldn't be killed, and the old man finally consented. The old frock coat was the same that he had seen and worn for 30 years. The voice was the same voice that they'd heard in church at every wedding and every funeral and every baptism. The old man's gestures were neither studied nor casual. His inflections were more or less governed by the breaks in his voice as he caught his breath and that had been worn out from preaching. But there was something about it that was better than acting. The gray head kept nodding. The tired frame of his body seemed almost to tremble. But their tears glistened in their eyes, like dew from heaven as the old man spoke. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. They couldn't understand it. What made them weep? While he quoted the words they had heard him quote by the graveside and every baptism in 100 sermons. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not a hand was lifted to applaud. Not a voice was raised to cheer. Tears, silence accompanied the old man to his chair. When the celebration was over, and the crowd was beginning to break up, the actor came to the aged pastor and said, Sir, I want to know something. When I quoted the 23rd Psalm, they applauded. The critics say that I do it well. I studied it. I know every dramatic possibility with every phrase and every word. But when you quoted it, the people gave you the greater tribute of their silence and their tears. What makes a difference? Trembling hands of the old man rested on the shoulders of the young one. My son, the difference is simply this. You know the psalm. I know the shepherd. That makes all the difference in the world. There are thousands of people who know the psalm. Maybe you can quote it, letter perfect, after 12 times together. But do you know the shepherd? Has your love grown for him? Has it increased and developed and matured? That makes all the difference in the world. Can you say it now and mean it? The Lord is my shepherd. And conclude by these simple words. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Shall we pray together? There may be someone who is here this morning who needs to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Needs to be born again. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. What am I going to ask you to do is, while everybody's leaving, you come and sit in the front row. Don, John, some others will be able to come and sit beside you and help you understand what it means to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. We'll help you understand what it means to be born again. To follow the shepherd, to obey him, to love him, to adore him. Don't go out with the others. They may have rejected him already, or they may have already received him. You come and sit in the front row. Just wait quietly there. Someone will come and sit with you. Share the message of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love. You have drawn us with cords of love which we ultimately could not resist. You have blessed us with all spiritual blessings and the gift of your beloved Son. We thank you for the vision that we are able to see of the Lord Jesus Christ. As he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. We thank you for his sacrifice. We thank you for the willingness to give all that he is and all that he has in order that we might possess all that he has and enjoy all that he is. We thank you for this psalm. We ask that you will endear its message to us. But more than anything else, we ask that you'll endear the shepherd to us. We offer you our thanks for speaking to us in the quietness of this morning hour, because we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.